God's Word says in Psalm 133 how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together united. How good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together united. And Jesus makes that come true. He has done so in history. He does so now. He does so with the guy and the gal next to you, towards yourself. And if you belong to Christ and the guy next to you belongs to Christ, then you belong to one another. Okay, just like the Lord came and made peace between you and God, got that forgiven and straightened out as you trust Christ, so God also gets everything straightened out between you and your brother and sister in Christ. The same power that puts you at peace with God can put you at peace with those around you who are your believers. So all Christians are an amazing Christian family with Jesus at the head of the family. He puts us shoulder to shoulder. And that's God's marvelous way and marvelous work. The Bible says one great thing. We're going to be together for a long, long time. And God chose us before the creation of the world. That's an amazing thought that I can't comprehend. But if you drew a line from the pulpit and go to my left all the way to eternity past, before God created the universe, even back then, God chose us to be with Christ and with each other. That's being together for a long time, at least in God's heart. And then if you took another line, drew it off into the future, trillions and trillions of years with Christ and loved ones who know Christ together forever. Okay, so what a great thing. Chosen from eternity past, united for eternity future, and united in the present. There's nothing like it in creation. Everything else is flying apart left and right. But if you belong to Christ, you're with Him and with your brothers and sisters. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer thought of that a lot. You know, he died in prison and was having fellowship with some guys before his death. But he said this fellowship that is Christian to Christian is not a goal to be produced. It's not something we're going to create. Okay, instead, it's a God-given gift to participate in. Okay, just like you can't create your own family, God does it. You can't create the church or a fellowship. God does it. He invites you to participate in it. And that's the way it is. That's the way we follow Jesus. I was blessed growing up to be a part of a family where I had two brothers. And as brothers do, we fought pretty much every week. We fought. And it was either physical fighting, which sometimes is a faster way to make peace, or verbal fighting. And that occurred way into our 20s. Okay. And then when we weren't around each other, we didn't fight so much. But that wasn't God's plan. But no matter how much we fought and how different we were, that didn't make us not brothers. We were still brothers, whether we fought or didn't fight. The reality is we were connected to each other. And the blessing was, if there was a problem that all of us had to face, the ones who would always fight with each other, me and my brothers, we would be united to go against that which was, you know, a threat to us. We like to mess around in the neighborhood and play all kind of sports games and things. And my older brother would always be one to pick teams. And he was always gracious enough to pick me and my younger brother to be on his team. And when we were on the same team, we almost always won. We were good. And not because of me. My other brother's very talented in that way. But that's the way it is with God's people. Brought together by Christ, not by common experience, by the one who's ahead of us, the cornerstone, Jesus. And Christians, you know, we're very unique because we're one of the weakest groups in the whole world because we're sinners in recovery. We're one of the weakest groups in the whole world, but also we're one of the strongest groups in the whole world, probably the strongest, because Jesus is building the church. So it's a privilege to be part of you and each other here. We are very excited and thankful because God knows what He's doing in His connections. Think of all the things God has connected you with throughout your life. He chose your family for you. Nobody had a perfect family, but a family was a place where you learned how to what? Mature. You learned how to love. You learned how to forgive. You learned how to serve. Regardless of anything else you thought your family was supposed to do for you, you pass that on to the church. Your family was to help you grow in various maturing experiences. And so God chose your family for you. God chose your friends for you, introduced you to those. He chose your neighbors for you. God's word says that He chose the exact time and place where we live. And He chose your brothers and sisters in Christ. Of all the people in the world, God ordained that you would function best with this blessed bunch. Okay, and there you are. You and I are all together. In my life, fellowship or shoulder to shoulder following Jesus has always been one of the most consistently weak parts of my walk with God. It's something that's hot and cold, but more cold and lukewarm than anything. And I think most of the time, you know, as I think of that experience, there's only two reasons why that's true. Number one, because I'm lazy. And number two, because I'm sinful and selfish at times, and I don't want to take the time to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ. So when it comes to worship, I'm all, you know, Mr. Fervent. When it comes to worship, hold 10 worship services, I'll be there, all 10 of them. The Bible, I love the Bible, can't get enough of the Word. Witnessing, I like to do that. I know the need that's in the person's soul. But fellowship, it's like learning and stumbling and tripping, and yet God provides, and He says, come on, grow that way. So if you could identify with that, it's a common problem. God in His Word tells us about 36 times, do certain things for one another. We saw in this, what Kevin read, we're going to see that in a little bit from 1 Peter. But I have to tell you a true story about somebody, a group of people who are trying to make something of themselves. And this is what often we do as Christians, make something of ourselves. We're not quite sure what we're up to. So in Jeremiah chapter 19, God's people were trying to make something of themselves by worshiping idols or leaning on other nations. And so Jeremiah saw that, and God said, go tell them that's not good. So He said, get a pot and go to the people of Jerusalem and Judah and say, this is what the Lord will do to Jerusalem and its plans. And He took that pot and He broke it. He smashed it. And that's how God was saying, look, you can't be a group with your own ideas. You have to be a group from what I'm going to do on your behalf. You have to trust Me. And a similar experience we might have is that if all of us were to go home, kind of like a Sunday school exercise or something, you get a piece of pottery at home, and I say, draw on the piece of pottery what you think God's people should be. What would you try to make God's people? You make some faces and, you know, some nice things and all that. Or write it on a piece of paper and then bring it in. And then if you gave it to the elders, and the elders took that and they looked at it and they went, poof. You say, oh, but that was how I was trying to form the church. But God says, why are you trying to get an identity from your own self instead of what I have for you, namely His Word? So we know who we are based on what God says, not based on what our ideas are trying to do for ourselves or from ourselves. So that's a very important thing. For God to smash our pot of what we feel His people are. And look at what He says we really are in the passage that Kevin read over here. Boom. Well, here's some of the bigger pictures of what God says we are. The body of Christ. What an honorable thing. You know, how to treat what belongs to the Lord really specially. So what do we do with the body? You take care of it, you feed it, you nourish it, you protect it. That's how what we do for each other as believers. We're looking out for each other. We're children of God. Children are protected, trained, loved. We're God's house. God dwells in us. We're God's fellow workers. I don't know if you were ever a part of a union. Once a year, I am a part of a union. Okay, it's a preacher's union. It meets at the district, and we all get together and we say, you know, we should do this. All in favor say aye, and it's, you know, everybody says aye, and then we go back and give it a shot there. But you're a part of a union if you know Christ, and God is the head of the union. You're a fellow worker with Him, and He's leading you, and you're a worker with each other. And then you're a saint by the grace of God, a saint and a recovering sinner. And this is who else God says we are. He makes us that way. Only Jesus can make us this way. We're the city of God, a holy nation. Brothers and sisters in Christ, how great if you have any kind of, you know, siblings you thought, they were such a wonderful group to be with, or at least they taught me how to grow up. That's how we are to each other. And then we're Jesus' friends. He says, I just don't call you servants, I call you friends. Now, if it was somebody who's a friend of Jesus, how would you treat that person? You would say, I'm going to treat him really good. Because Jesus loves them, and I love them too. And then we're jars of clay. That keeps us humble. And you know, Jesus said the great thing a friend does, he's willing to lay down his life for one another. Just a challenge to throw out to you that I think is true in your soul, if you know Christ. Because Christ died for us. We're his friends. He's a friend to us. Are we not willing to die for one another? You might say, well, I never thought of it that way. I thought I'd just, you know, I'd like to have Bible study with this guy. I don't know if I'm going to die for him. But really in the Bible, because of how strong Christ is in each child of his, isn't it true? He puts that same love there that you and I would die for each other if it came to that. And Christians throughout history have done that, and we give the Lord all the credit. So have that mentality in terms of who we are, shoulder to shoulder, following Jesus. Now here's the passage from 1 Peter. At least five times here God says to do things for one another. Love each other deeply. And the passage said, above all. Okay. So you think important things to do? All of them are important. But above all, love each other deeply. Live in harmony. Connect. How Jesus worked with that with his first disciples. Matthew, I want you to meet Simon, part of the first 12 there. Matthew, you love the government, Matthew. You are a tax collector. Simon, you hate the government. You want to overthrow the government. You are Simon the Zealot. Okay, you two guys, shoulder to shoulder, follow Christ. They did it. You know, Jesus pulls that off, how he unites us that way. Offer hospitality. Make room for each other in each other's lives. Serve each other. Greet one another. It seems simple, but how important. It says greet one another with a kiss of love. We say, well, we're not going to take the Bible literally at that point. A handshake will do, right? Handshake will do. Don't kiss me with a kiss of love here. a greeting to extend yourself. How important. And then... And this is the whole, all that we do, our mentality of togetherness is an exercise in unselfishness. Okay, and I don't know if you thought about church that way. You know, my tendency or our tendency might be, I go to church for me. I go to church for me. Wait a minute. I understand you want your soul nourished, but if you go to church for you, where's the Lord and where's everybody else? So you kind of gather, you gather for Christ and on behalf of others. How can I help the other guy? It happens to be Super Bowl day. We're happy about that. Some of the guys are anyway. And, you know, who were the great athletes in history? They were the ones who could make the other people on the team better. Make the other people on the team better. Okay. Can you make the other people around you stronger Christians? See, Lord will make you a stronger Christian, but would you be able to make other people a stronger Christian? It's part of the one another ministry. And then we do this. We love as Jesus loved. His heart's in us. The prayer is a good thing. Strengthen each other. Submit to one another. That's a hard thing. But we never learned anything by just going ahead with what we thought anyway. Somebody said you never learned anything when you're talking. You always learn something when you're listening, submitting to one another. And then you provoke one another to love. In other words, you push each other on a little bit. We could do that when there's love there. Hopefully you've done it in your own family. You're called to do it to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And to see every person as an opportunity to love Jesus, because Jesus lives in them. And I just picked a couple of practical things. Knowing, first of all, again, I don't think this is an ideal to try to attain. I think this is a reality that God says this is the way it is. Now, do you want to participate? Here it is. Shoulder to shoulder with Christ. If you're like me, it's like, I got a D- on all these. But my leader has an A+. And he's helping us do this. So this is some things that I think might help you put into practice the things God says to do. Shoulder to shoulder. Could you, in your heart, some of you are doing it half today already, gather once a week with a large group, the part of the body of Christ, and also with a small group, part of the body of Christ. Large group, some things will happen. They're very important. Encouragement, volume, togetherness, and all that. Gather with a large group. Also gather with a small group, a little group. Okay, you need a little group so you can open up to them and hear them. American Christians, we want a large group and a large group. I like it when I meet with 200 people and 40 people. That was great. Now, I'd be better off if I met with 100 and 8. 100 over here, 8 over here, because then I could talk to people and I can listen. Number two, seek out one significant conversation with another person in some manner, even if it's nonverbal. Even if somebody is so happy, you don't have time to talk with them, go up to them and say, way to go, and then just leave. If you know them, of course. Don't be, sticking your nose in. But supportive of brothers and sisters in Christ. Or your quiet presence means a lot. Go to a hospital room or a funeral, you don't say much, you're just there praying. I'm praying. That's all you say. Could mean more than the guy comes up and he says, I find these 8 verses in the Bible and they're all going to be good for you. Just be with them for a while. Seek out one other person in conversation. That's the way I evaluate, by the way, what kind of morning I have with God's people. When I go home, I say, did I have any significant conversations with anybody? And if God says, well, did you? And I say, I don't think so. And God said, well, you can go back next week and try again. In other words, be open and see what God will do. Don't have to force anything. And then have a plan of action to strengthen another person. Oh, I know so-and-so's in trouble. I'm going to pray for them. Or I'm going to send a note to this person. Or I'm going to call that person. Plan of action to help one person. So there's 100 people here say today. You could say 100 people get some definitive help from their brother or sister in Christ. Shoulder to shoulder ministry, which God, the way God works. And then this one, which I think is very, very important. Asked for help in one area of your life. Did you ever do that in a fellowship? Ask for help in one area of your life. You'll find a receptive person at that point who at least they'll remember to pray for you. Or if you say, my wife's traveling this week, I'm concerned about how everything goes. That person will remember that. And I'll pray about it. How was that flight? Did everything go okay? Mention one area in your life where you need help. That's because you need strengthened through God's people. And the whole emphasis, both the First Peter passage there, whether it's love one another deeply, hospitality, or kiss, it's basically to see church about Christ and my brother and sister in Christ. And to make an intentional thing that I go to church and the church is not about me. That's a huge cultural shift among even the Bible-believing Christians. I go to church and the church is not about me. It is to honor Christ and to strengthen as many people around me as I can. Because I don't have a lot of time left, but I am a part of God's family and so thankful and privileged to be that way. And to yield to God this month, thinking about relationships, next week more, friendship, family. But this week, Christian, the Christian, the Christian, the Christian. What a marvelous plan God has. And it's been working for 2,000 years. So it's good to get in on. Let's pray and be at the Lord's table and be with each other, please. Lord, thank you for your grace, putting us at peace with you and making peace between one another. There was Jewish Christians, Gentile Christians. There were men and women who didn't know how to relate to each other without thinking the other ones were somehow less than them. But there were eternal fellowship going on. We're happy about that. We're amazed at that. We're clumsy with that, but we're thankful. So help us reach out, Lord, shoulder to shoulder, looking out for each other, pushing the wagon together, as it were, in the yoke of Jesus. Hear our silent prayers as we come to your table.